نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, we'd like to continue lecture number 7 in our series of lectures dealing with the tafsir of Al-Qur'an Al-Azim, primarily focusing upon the comments of Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, but also mentioning some of the points or notes of the other scholars of tafsir. In this evening, our topic of discussion is taken from Surah Al-Mursalat, chapter 77, verses 41-50. عاقبة المتقين, what will be the end or the reward at the end of the road for the people of taqwa. وجزاء المكذبين, and what is the reward or the recompense of those who deny the truth, who deny the deen of Allah and the message that He has sent by His prophets. These verses, like many verses in the Qur'an, compare what will be the end result of those who obey Allah and what will be the end result of those who disobey Him. The reward of the believers and the reward of the disbelievers. The end of the righteous and the end of those who deny. And though these verses are brief and the comments of Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir are brief, the meaning contained in them are of the utmost importance, as indeed it is the encouragement for the believer, knowing that with whatever the difficulties that we are faced with in this world may be, and the hardships that we are confronted with throughout our life and the trials that we are tested with, we know that in the end it is going to be, everything will be made up for, everything will be compensated for. Whereas it is also a discouragement for those who might take heed, who might fear the end result of disobedience and disbelief and wrongdoing and denying the truth, knowing what will be the terrible end of those who deny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses, إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون. إن المتقين, المتقين والمتقون are the people of taqwa, those who have a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which moves them and guides them to fulfill the commands of Allah and to refrain from those things which He has prohibited. At-taqwa, it is the action of the person who knows that disobedience to Allah brings about a punishment. The anger of Allah is vast. So that person places a wiqaya, a shield, between them and the result of disobedience to Allah. And that shield, that wiqaya, it is the actions of the person in doing that which earns Allah's pleasure and refraining from that which earns His displeasure. This is the shield or the screen. It is implementing the commands of Allah and avoiding that which He has prohibited. The scholars have given various definitions about taqwa, but perhaps this definition is a comprehensive one that is sufficient for us to know that the muttaqeen, inna al-muttaqeen, that they are those who are living in obedience to Allah. They are asking all the time if a particular action is that which would earn Allah's pleasure or that which would earn His displeasure. And therefore, when they know something is pleasing to Allah, they hasten to do it, and when something is displeasing to Allah, they try to avoid it at all costs. The one who has taqwa of Allah is the one who fears Allah's punishment. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَفَوَاكِهَ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. That the muttaqeen, they will be in shade, or shades, zilal, the plural of zil. And the shade, it is when the rays of the sun are screened by something between that person and those rays, this causes a zil. And this zil, it is one of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Jannah, that the people will be in shade, in the comfort of shade. Wa ulum. Ulum is the plural of ayn, and it means springs, or that which comes forth from the earth. Yanba'u min al-ard wa yajri 'alayha. If the water comes from underneath the earth and then runs or flows across the earth, this is what is called an ayn. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the second of the ni'm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be the streams or the springs that come forth from the earth. Of course, in this world, the spring is that which comes forth from the earth. In the next life, there will be springs of paradise. And the Quran mentions that those ulum are many. From amongst them are springs of water, and from amongst them are springs of milk, and springs of honey, and flowing khamr, but not like the khamr in this world that intoxicates and causes harm, but that one which would be of the paradise. Also, of the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the muttaqeen is fawaqiha, fawaqiha, fruits. The fruit of the trees, the delicious fruits of the trees of paradise. وَفَاقِهَا وَفَوَاقِهَا مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. يعني fruits, مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, from those things that the human being loves and is attracted to and desires. مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, يعني from plenty, there are plenty of fruits, and that the people of taqwa will take whatever they want from the plenty different types of fruits that are in the paradise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what will happen to the muttaqeen and likewise the muhsineen, as came later in these verses, the people of ihsan, the doers of good deeds? He said that it will be said to them, قُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَنِيًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Eat and drink haniyan, due to that which you used to do, your deeds and your actions in this world. Yani, they will eat from that which, the food and drink, which is tasty and delicious to them, and it is easily accessible to them. This is the beauty of the muttaqeen. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَنِيًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. This is the reward for what you used to do, yani, in this world, when you were in the world. And here's an important point that requires some discussion. And inshallah, the tafsir this evening is brief, so at the end we return to this point of the reward of paradise for the people of paradise, for the muttaqeen or the muhsineen or the mu'mineen, their reward based upon their deeds. Is it a fact that people will enter paradise due to their deeds? Or how is it explained in light of the statement here in this verse and in other verses of the Quran, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, due to what you used to do, and based upon your actions or your deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds to the muttaqeen another group of the believers, al-muhsineen. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ But verily, we likewise reward the muhsineen, the people of ihsan, those people who do hasan, who do good deeds, that which is considered to be good. And here, we might look at some of the meanings of al-muhsin, and from amongst them, as some of the scholars of Luga said, that the muhsin is the one who does hasan, who does something which is good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions something similar to this, which is relative and of importance, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mulk, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. That blessed is the one whose hand is the mulk, the sovereignty or the kingdom, and he has power over everything. الذي خلق الموت والحياة. He is the one who created death and life. He created death. Here, death refers to the absence of existence. And before we were in this world, it is referred to as death. Allah created death first, and then He created life, and bringing forth the people into this world. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا In order to test you. That death and life were created, and people were brought into this world that they may be tested. It will be an ikhtibar, a test for them to see which of you is best in conduct. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ He is the mighty and the forgiving. And here, some of the scholars from amongst the early generations of the Muslims said, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Which of you is best in deeds? It means, أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَسْوَبُهُ أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَسْوَبُهُ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا The best in deeds, it doesn't mean the one who does the most deeds, أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا وَلَكِنْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا The one who does his deed with ikhlas, أَخْلَصُهُ The one who has the most ikhlas in doing it for Allah alone. وَأَصْوَبُهُ The one who is most correct in his deed, that is, in making it to conform to the Sharia or to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it was legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any increase or without decreasing it or making any change in it. يعني أحسن عملا it means أخلصه وأصوبه The one who does it with pure ikhlas and correctly according to that which has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, al-muhsineen also perhaps it means those who do يعني who are the best in أحسن عملا the best in doing their deeds يعني doing it purely for the sake of Allah and in accordance with the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise from amongst the meaning of al-muhsineen or muhsineen is that which is explained by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the famous hadith of Jibreel in which the angel Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was sitting amongst his companions and he said, Ya Muhammad akhbirni an al-Islam. Tell me about Islam. And he told him that Islam is the testimony of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and the prayers and fasting and charity and the pillars, the five pillars, the arkan of Islam. And at that point the angel Jibreel said, Sadaqta, you have indeed spoken the truth. And they were amazed, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that someone came to him asking him about something and then confirming that the answer is correct. And then he said to him, أخبرني عن الإيمان Tell me about الإيمان And he told him the pillars of Islam, the belief in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels and the books and the prophets and so on to the end of the Arkan of Iman Sittah, the six pillars of faith. And finally, the point of reference here is the question of the angel Jibreel in which he said, أخبرني عن الإحسان Tell me about الإحسان What is الإحسان? And who are the muhsineen? Al-Ihsan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. It is that you worship Allah as though you see Him. يعني Al-Ihsan, it is the third level of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Islam and Iman, Al-Ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. That the person should worship Allah as though he is seeing Allah. And of course, if someone is seeing Allah, they will not act the same as the one who is not conscious of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing that we don't see Allah and we will not see Allah in this world, he said, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if you don't see him, if you are not seeing him, and you are not seeing him, worship him as though you are seeing him, but even though you are not seeing him, know that he is seeing you. And this is another level of al-ihsan. The person who doesn't worship Allah as though they are seeing him, then at least know that Allah is seeing you. At least know that Allah is watching you and aware of you and knows your deeds and actions and all of your conditions. So al-ihsan is a very high level of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which the person has a consciousness similar to the consciousness of the people of taqwa, al-muttaqeen. The muttaqeen is the one who is thinking about Allah. What is pleasing to Allah? What is displeasing to Allah? And always fulfilling that which Allah has commanded and refraining from that which Allah has prohibited. And likewise, the muhsin, the person who has ihsan, who reached the level of ihsan, is likewise always acting as though Allah is in front of them, as though they see Allah, or at least knowing that Allah is seeing them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that what has been mentioned in reference to the muttaqeen, that they will be in shades and springs flowing, and they will have fruit to choose from whatever they like, and they will eat from those fruits and drink from those springs and enjoy it without any difficulty or hardship due to their deeds in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, likewise, the muhsineen, إِنَّ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That we also give a like reward. The same reward for the muttaqeen is also promised to the muhsineen. وَيْلُ الْيَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Here, the second group of people, after the believers, the muttaqeen and the muhsineen, the second group of people, the disbelievers, are mentioned under the title of الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. وَيْلُ الْيَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And likewise, the disbelievers here are referred to by two titles, the مُكَذِّبُونَ and the مُجْرِمُونَ. The مُكَذِّبُونَ are the deniers of the truth, who deny the Qur'an and the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or those who deny the Prophet who were sent to them, of every people in every time. And they are likewise referred to as the مُجْرِمُونَ, the people who do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. يعني, and al-jurm, it is a terrible, severe and ugly crime, not just normal acts of sin, but the most evil of sins, the most ugly of crimes. This is al-jurm, and the mujrim is the one who does such things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wail, woe to the mukazzibin, the deniers, those who deny, who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, and who do not affirm or admit and confess to the truth of the message that the messengers have brought, and the truth of the coming day, al-yawm al-akhir, the day, the last day, yawm al-qiyamah, the day of resurrection. They deny that people will be rewarded and punished for their deeds, and therefore they act as they want to act, doing all that is displeasing to Allah of crime and corruption and sin. And likewise, some of the scholars said, wailu, that wail, it means not only al-azab al-aleem, the terrible punishment that the person should fear, woe to the deniers, and woe to them for fear of al-azab al-aleem. But likewise, some of the scholars of tafsir, many of them said that al-wail is a wadi in Jahannam. It is a valley in Jahannam that would be for those who are mentioned in the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them with these words. Wailun yawma idin, on that day. That means the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, when the counts will be brought forth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to warn them with these words of warning, wail. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين for the deniers, woe to them. And he mentions some of the sifat or characteristics of the deniers, and from amongst them is the he mentions first their condition, that is that they would be threatened and warned with the command which was actually a threat to them. The command, كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. Eat and enjoy, and you benefit from the things of this world for a short time in this dunya. قَلِيلًا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. For there you are the مُجْرِمُونَ, the criminals, the wrongdoers, the evil people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to eat and enjoy the things of this world. That's what they are living for. To enjoy it, قَلِيلًا. Because the enjoyment of the things in this world, it is little in amount, and also little in its period of lasting. And it doesn't last permanently like the things in the paradise. Nor is it innumerable, but it is limited. The things in this world are both limited in number or amount, and also limited in their lifespan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, قُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا. For just a little while. And know for sure that after this little while is coming something else that is the promised punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ فَذَلِ يُوَا وَمُجْرِمُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to the deniers. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. And when it is said to them, bow down. ارْكَعُوا. Bow down. يعني bow down in salat with the people who bow. لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. They refuse to pray. They refuse to bow down, they refuse to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the characteristics of the mukadzibeen. Since they deny the message, then they deny what that message called on them to be in this world, of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him alone, and to perform the prayer and the other acts that are required of those who believe. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اِرْكَعُوا لَيَرْكَعُونَ. If it is said to them, bow down. And here, bowing, it is a part of the prayer, and it is, as some of the scholars said, that a part of a thing is mentioned, but what is intended is the whole of it. And this is a common and often used usloob or manner in Arabic language, and it comes in the Quran in many places. إطلاق الجزء في وإرادة الكل. يعني mentioning something in part, but intending the meaning of its whole. So here ruku is mentioned, but what is intended, the murad or the intended meaning of ruku, it means a salat. When they are called to perform the salat, they refuse to pray. And this is primarily the disbelievers, but also it may refer to those who consider themselves to be Muslims and refuse to bow down with those who bow down, meaning those who refuse to pray, or those who refuse to pray in jama'ah, as some of the scholars said, as Ibn Kathir mentioned, that they are called to bow down, meaning bow down ma'al jama'ah, with the Muslims who bow down in jama'ah in the masajid. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe on that day, the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, the day of accounting, for the mukadzibeen who deny the revelations that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophets and messengers, and who abandoned the salat in particular and the worship of Allah in general. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And woe to them. For in which speech, بِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ, in which speech, بَعْدَهُ, after it, after the Qur'an, in which speech after the Qur'an will they believe, will they accept as truthful? If they rejected the Qur'an, knowing that the Qur'an is calling to all khayr, it is only calling to good and to al-huda, the guidance. And likewise, it is promising happiness, as-sa'ada, in this world and in the next. And not only that, but even the text of the Qur'an itself, it is miraculous in nature, such that its verses, the expressions and the meaning of the Qur'an, it cannot be imitated. There is nothing equal or like it. And for these reasons and many others, if they didn't believe in the Qur'an, then it wasn't expected that they would believe in anything else after the Qur'an. As opposed to other books, which may have shortcomings or defects in them, the writings of people or the saying or speech of others, if someone doesn't believe in the speech of Allah, the perfect speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's not expected in any case that they would believe in something else. This is the end of the verses in this section that we want to cover. And you can just look now here at the tafsir, or the mukhtasar of the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, in which The first section of these verses mentions the destination or the reward of the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, and likewise along with them the muhsineen, the people of ihsan. And here Al-Hafidh Al-Kathir rahimahullah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about ibadihi al-muttaqeen, his righteous servants, the people of taqwa, those who worship him. Worship him by what? By fulfilling al-wajibat, the obligatory acts which he has made obligatory on them. And by abandoning al-muharramat, the things which he has prohibited for them. He informs us that these people, that on the day of Qiyamah, of resurrection, that they will be in gardens, al-jannat, and they will have springs or noon, in contrast to those people, the wretched, the people of the hellfire, in contrast to the condition that they will be in the shade of smoke, of black smoke, black stinking smoke. That will be the shade that they will be shaded in. And this is, and then he says, the mentioning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفَوَاقِهَا مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, and fruits from amongst the many types of fruits, all types of fruits, which the believers will desire. That is, that there will be many types of fruits, and whatever they seek, or whatever they request, they will find it. And whatever fruit the person asks for, unlike in this world, there are seasons for certain fruits, and certain places where you can find certain fruits to the exclusion of other places, but in paradise, every type of fruit, unlimited in types, will be available. Whatever you desire, you will find it. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. So eat and drink in pleasure due to what or for what you have done, meaning in this world. It will be said to them, here the words of the Kathir, يُقَالَ لَهُمْ ذَلَكَ عَلَى السَّبِيلِ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِمْ. And apparently the translators have translated this, I don't know if I have the translation with me, but they have translated it something like, the meaning of it is that it will be said to them, and these words will be said to them, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. It will be said to them, out of kindness. But actually the meaning here, and Allah knows best, the meaning here is that this will be said to them, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, that eat and drink and enjoy for what you have done in this world, that this is from the ihsan of Allah. It's not from your own good deeds. Yani, this reward that you will receive is not in exchange for you have done a good deed and now Allah has given you its reward equal to it. But no, what you will enjoy in the paradise, it is ala sabil al-ihsan. Yani, it is from the ihsan of Allah. It is from His bounty and His favor that you will enjoy these things. And this is the correct meaning. And this is what we want to discuss in the end concerning the issue of whether or not the believer is rewarded with the blessings and the favors of paradise equal to his deeds, or is it actually from Allah's favor and His mercy? That we will be, inshaAllah, or the believers will be enjoying the benefits of paradise. So here Al-Hafidh Al-Kathir hints at this issue when he says, يُقَالَ لَهُمْ ذَلِكَ عَلَى السَّبِيلِ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِمْ, that it is from Allah's ihsan, from Allah's kindness and favor and bounty to them, they will enjoy such things. Then he says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, informing them of another point here, يعني, related to the previous point, إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ مَجْدِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and likewise in the same way we will also give the reward to the muhsineen, that is our reward. This reward which we have promised for the muttaqeen, it is also لِمَنْ أَحْسَنَ الْعَمَلِ, and it is also for those who do deeds well. أحسن العمل. And here, this refers back to the point which we mentioned, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that it means it is for those, the محسنين, those who do their deeds well, meaning doing it with ikhlas and in accordance with the Sharia. وَيْلُ الْيَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, يعني woe on that day, the day of resurrection, to the deniers. And here in the next section, he mentions the warning or threat, of those who deny the resurrection, who deny the truth and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who deny the fact that the responsibilities that Allah has laid upon us, that we will be called upon for them, and that we will be rewarded or punished accordingly. So here he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the mukadibun, those who deny, kulu wa tamatta'u qaleelan innakum mujrimun, eat and enjoy a little, for a little while, in a little amount, in a limited amount, in this imperfect dunya, for verily you are mujrimun, the criminals, the wrongdoers. This speech being addressed to the deniers, it will be on Yawm al-Deen, yani the day when accounts will be taken. And this command to them is Amr al-Tahdeed. It is a command that is a threat to them. And it is a wa'id. Yani Allah is warning them and threatening them and challenging them that if they eat and enjoy the things of this world as they please, without consideration of the truth that they will be accountable for themselves in this world, then this is a threat to them, to know that there is something coming after it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا, meaning it will be for a short period of time. قَلِيلًا قَلِيبًا قَصِيرًا. It is a short amount of time, a little bit of time, and their time, their appointed time is near. إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ verily you are the مُجْرِمُونَ. Then he said, the meaning of this is that they will be brought forth to the fire of hell. And after this little bit of enjoyment in this world, they will be brought forth to the fire of hell. And that is what has been mentioned previously. يعني ويل يوم ابن المكذبين. Woe. يعني woe for fear of the terrible punishment or the valley in hellfire for those who deny the disbelievers. And here Al-Hafidh al-Kathir mentions other verses that are similar and which make more clear the meaning of these verses. The order of the disbelievers or the deniers to enjoy this world, he says the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا, that we give them enjoyment for a little while. ثُمَّ نَبْتَرُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ قَلِيلٍ, then we will force them to a very severe and terrible punishment. Then we will enjoy the things in this world for a little while, but after that is coming a terrible punishment. And likewise the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ, that those who invent lies against Allah, they will never be successful. لَا يُفْلِحُونَ, أَبَدًا, no way. مَتَاعٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا, they will have some enjoyment in this world. ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا مَرْجِعُهُمْ, then they will return to us. They will return will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for judgment. There will be a little enjoyment, مَتَاعٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا, but after that they will return to Allah, and when they return to Allah, ثُمَّ نُذِيقُهُمْ الْعَذَابَ الشَّدِيدِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ, then they will taste of the severe punishment due to their acts of disbelief. And likewise, then he goes on to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ يُعْكَرُوا لَيَعْكَرُونَ, and if it is said to them, bow down, and he bow down with those who bow down, perform the prayers, or worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is said to them, he said that this is when the ignorant, those ignorant deniers, when they are ordered from amongst the disbelievers, when they are ordered to bow down to Allah, to be with those who pray, مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ, يعني, when the ignorant disbelievers are ordered to be من المصلين مع الجماعة, to be with those who perform the prayers in the جماعة, with the group, then they hold back from doing so and they act proudly in indifference or in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason Allah says to them, وَيْلَ يَوْمَ إِذَا لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe on that day, the day of resurrection, to the deniers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes with these words, فَبِعِي حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ, then in which hadith, in which kalam, in which speech will they believe بَعْدَهُ, بَعْدَ الْقُرْآنِ, after the Qur'an, which speech will they believe after that? That means, يعني, if they didn't, Al-Hafidh al-Kathir says, if they didn't believe in this Qur'an, then in which kalam, in which speech will they believe? And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِعِي حَدِيثٍ بعد الله وآياته يؤمنون, then in which speech after Allah and His ayat, His verses and signs, in which speech after that, they didn't believe in Allah and His signs, then what would they believe in
after that. And he goes with this. Actually, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir a hadith from Ibn Abi Hatim in the end of this chapter, but it appears that the hadith is not authentic. Perhaps this is the reason why they have deleted it. And likewise, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Rifa'i, who did the Mukhtasar Ibn Kathir previous to this Mukhtasar, and he also did a checking of the hadith, but this particular hadith he didn't mention its grade, whether it was authentic or not, which seems to suggest that perhaps the hadith is not authentic. So this is the end of the tafsir, this Mukhtasar, the tafsir Ibn Kathir of these verses. And let us just quickly look at the point concerning whether or not the believers are rewarded with paradise in equal exchange for their good deeds in this world. And there are a number of verses in the Quran which refer to this topic. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 43, where he says concerning the believers and how they will be in the paradise, that all ill things between them will be removed from their hearts, and underneath them will be flowing rivers, and they will say, the believers, they will say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. That the believers at this point on entering paradise, they will say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, alladhi hadana, who guided us, who gave us the hidayah and the tawfiq in order to do the deeds that we did. Otherwise, without Allah's hidayah and without the tawfiq from Allah, we would never have been able to do it. And they will know that, and they will recognize it, and they will praise Allah, Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada, to this success, the entering into paradise, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. And we would never have been able to guide ourselves, to be guided, if it wasn't for the guidance and the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ. That the messengers of our Lord indeed came with the truth. وَنُودُوا. And here the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relevant to the topic of discussion. وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then it will be called out to them, يعني, that this is the paradise which you have inherited, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, which you have inherited because of what you are doing of deeds in this world. First, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, concerning this, he said that many of the scholars of the Salaf said that the people of paradise, that they will be saved from the hellfire by the afwullah, by Allah's pardoning them. They will be saved not by their deeds, but by the afw of Allah, by the pardoning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will enter the paradise not by their deeds, but by rahmatillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the places in paradise will be divided, and the people will inherit their place in paradise in accordance with their deeds. But the saving from the fire, it is by the afwa of Allah. And the entering of the paradise is by the rahmah of Allah. And indeed, those good deeds which will determine their places in paradise, it is indeed from the rahmah of Allah. In fact, بَلْ مِنْ أَعْلَى أَنْوَى رَحْمَتِهِ. But it is of the highest type of Allah's mercy. Yani the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us and gave us the success in doing good deeds, that will determine our place in paradise once we enter by His mercy and by His favor and His pardoning. And likewise, he also said that the believers will say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada. They will say so, that praise be to Allah who guided us to this, because it is Allah who favored us and who revealed and guided our hearts to the truth and caused us to believe in it and caused us to submit to that which He called us to in order to do the good deeds which lead us to that paradise. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who preserved our iman and protected our iman and protected us in the doing and kept us on the path, preserved us on the path of doing good deeds until He caused us to reach this place, the place of paradise. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah also said concerning these verses that which is of importance, and it is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the entering into paradise, what about our deeds or by the mercy and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fadl of Allah and the rahmah of Allah. He said that it has been narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i and Ibn Mardawi, والله له, and that the exact word in this hadith is from Ibn Mardawi. He said from the hadith of Abu Bakr ibn Abbas بسنده إلى أبي هريرة, يعني with his chain of narrative is going to Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أهل الجنة يرى مقعده من النار, that every one of the people of paradise will see his feet in the hellfire. Every one of the people of paradise will see his feet in the hellfire. He has his feet in the hellfire. فيقول لولا أن الله هداني, if it wasn't for the fact that Allah guided me and gave me this success. فيقول له شكرا, this will be a means of, and it will be a way of شكرا. He will know that he is intervening only by Allah's guidance and Allah's favor, and he will thank Allah. And likewise, كل أهل النار, every one of the people of the hellfire, يرى مقعده من الجنة, he will see his seat in the hellfire, in the paradise. And the people of the hellfire will also see a seat that was, and it was appointed for them, but because they disobeyed Allah, they were not into it. And they will see that seat and they will say, لو أن الله هداني, if only Allah had guided me. فيكون له حسرة, it will be a means of regret for him. For this reason, when the people will inherit their seat, and when the people of paradise will inherit those seats in the paradise, it will be called out to them, أَنَّ تِلْكَ تِلْكُمْ الْجَنَّةُ أَوْرِفْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, that these places, this is the place in paradise which you have inherited because of what you were doing, because of your deeds. And here is the comment of Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he said, أي بسبب أعمالكم نالت أو نالتكم الرحمة, يعني it is by the cause of you having done good deeds, then the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reached you because of your deeds. If you had not done these deeds, then you wouldn't have earned Allah's rahmah. And this is the meaning of the saying of some of the scholars, that a person has to do good deeds, because rahmah and maghfirah is not just by wishing and hoping, but it is by deeds. When a person makes the effort, then Allah, his rahmah will reach them, and Allah's maghfirah will reach them. So it is because of their deeds that they earned the rahmah of Allah, and then they entered the paradise, and they took their places in the paradise in accordance بحسب أعمالكم, in accordance with their deeds. And then he says, وَإِنَّمَا وَجِبَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَى هَذَا لِمَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ, he said that what makes us to interpret these words in this way, the interpretation that the person doesn't earn paradise by his deeds, but he earns Allah's rahmah and Allah's fadl and Allah's afu by his deeds, he said, what caused us to understand it in this way and to interpret it in this way? يعني إننا واجبة, it is obligatory to understand this way based on that which is recorded in الصحيحين and البخاري المسلم from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ عَمَلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ, يعني know that no one of you, that one of you will never be entered or admitted into paradise by his deeds. لَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ عَمَلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ, يعني you will never enter paradise by, as a result of your deeds. And the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when they heard this, they were amazed at it and they were surprised, and he made it as though it was an absolute statement that no one at all will enter paradise by their deeds. And they said to him, قَالُوا وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, not even you, and not even the Messenger of Allah will enter paradise by his deeds. قَالَ وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّنِي اللَّهِ لِرَحْمَتِهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ. The Prophet said, not even me, I will not even enter paradise by my deeds, but only if Allah covers me, smothers me, بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنْهُ, with a mercy from him, وَفَضْلٍ, and his favor or his bounty. So that this is a clear proof, the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم here, leading us to know that people will not enter paradise simply because of their deeds, but in fact people who do good deeds, they may earn the rahmah of Allah, or the fadl of Allah, or the afwa of Allah, and in this way they will escape from the hellfire and earn admittance into the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, commenting on this hadith in his Sharh of Riyad al-Salihin, he mentioned this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported by Muslim
قاربوا وسددوا واعلموا أنه لن ينجو أحد منكم بعمله. قاربوا يعني make your intentions to do that which Allah has ordered you to do, not going beyond what He ordered, not falling short from it, but making your intentions to fulfill what Allah has ordered you with to the best of your ability, يعني according to istita'a, according to your ability. وسددوا, and try to make your actions to be in accordance with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, and make your intentions to do what Allah has ordered you and to do it in accordance with what He has legislated, not going outside of that. وَعَلَمُوا, and if you do so, know that none of you will be saved. No one, لَنْ يَنْجُوَ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ بِعَمَلِهِ, no one of you will be saved simply by his deeds alone. And then they said, قَالُوا وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَبِيٌّ يَا مُسْلِمُ اللَّهِ. He said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ, except that Allah covers me with His mercy and His fadl. And then the Shaykh concerning this, he says that he mentions a number of points. Amongst them is that the Prophet reminded us of the need for us to strive and struggle and make every effort, in the hadith in which he said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَاءٌ, that every one of the children of Adam make mistakes. وَخَيْرُ خَطَائِينَ التَّوَّابِينَ, and the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent and make tawbah. This hadith is reported by Tirmidhi and Ahmed rahimahumullah. And he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ, يعني if you didn't commit sins, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the position, but if the people didn't commit sins, then Allah would have removed them. ثُمَّ لَجَاءَ لِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهُ فَيَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. يعني then you bring people who would commit sins, and then they will be required, because of their sins, they will seek Allah's forgiveness and Allah will forgive them. So nobody should imagine that there are any people who are free of sins, and therefore they are entitled to paradise simply by their deeds alone. No one will be saved from the punishment of hellfire, no one will be admitted into the paradise, except by Allah's afu and Allah's rahmah and Allah's fadl, the favor of Allah and His mercy and His pardon. With their works, and here he says that even the best of all humanity, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he didn't and wouldn't enter paradise by his deeds alone, then how can we respect anyone else? No matter what level a person may reach in nearness to Allah, they will never enter paradise by their deeds alone, if it wasn't for Allah's favor upon them, as Allah's favor upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and forgiving his sins of the past as well as of the future, saving him from the hellfire and admitting him into the paradise. He said, what if some people said that there are texts from the Quran and Sunnah which indicate that righteous actions save a person from the fire? I mean, the righteous actions are the cause or the reason why a person wouldn't be punished in the hellfire, and that righteous actions are the cause for which a person enters paradise, such as the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 97, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولننجينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. That whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, while they are believers, doing good deeds and having iman, then we will cause them to have a good life, and we will reward them with a reward, بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, for the best of what they used to do, and based on their deeds. And this is similar to the verse in the discussion in Surah Al-Mursala Kadhalik, when the Shaykh says, how do we make the jam, or combining these two points or these two texts, how do we make reconciliation between this one, the statement in the Quran, such that a person will be rewarded according to their deeds, and the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one went to paradise by the deeds alone? He said that the answer here is that that which is negated, namely the fact that the statement that a person would not enter the paradise by their deeds, it means that they will not enter paradise
simply as an exchange for their deeds. Yani, that their entry in paradise would be equal to their deeds, or their deeds that would require or entitle them by right to paradise. And muqabala, it won't be muqabala. Yani, something equal for something equal. But the person's deeds is not equal to their entry into paradise. This is what is being negated, that no one will enter paradise by their deeds alone, meaning that if the value of their deeds was the only cause for them to enter paradise, then obviously they wouldn't make it. It wouldn't be equal. As for that which is confirmed in the verses of Quran, the state that a person would be rewarded with paradise according to their deeds, and muthbit, it means that a person's deeds would be a cause. From amongst the asbab, it would be a sabab, one of the causes or reasons, but it would not be ayyadan, it wouldn't be an exact fair exchange. But it would be a cause from amongst the causes, and the other causes, the most important causes, is the rahmah, the mercy of Allah, and the fadl, the bounty of Allah, through which a person is favored to be guided and then given the tawfiq to act. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His favor and His mercy, a person has ikhlas, sincerity in doing the deeds that they do. And this is the first and primary cause for entering the paradise. And if a person enters paradise by Allah's rahmah and by Allah's fadl, then in accordance with their deeds, they will be given their place in paradise. So here the Shaykh, he says that it is not a fair exchange, yani that one's deeds are equal to the paradise, but in fact the person enters paradise by the fadl of Allah and by His rahmah, and these two are the real reason for the person entering the paradise and being saved from the hellfire. And here he just mentions three quick points that from this hadith. The first of them is that a person should not be pleased, should not be deceived by his deeds, thinking that he has so much good deeds that he's guaranteed to be saved. And also that a person should as much as possible try to remember Allah and thank Allah and ask Allah for His mercy, the mercy that will cover us and allow us to enter the paradise. And the third one, he said in this hadith, is a proof of the concern and companion of the Prophet ﷺ in seeking knowledge, so that they always ask about whatever would benefit them, either in this life or in the next. Likewise, from the verses and the discussion this evening, there are a number of points that are derived from them, points of benefit. The first of them is that the muttaqeen, the righteous and pious, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that they would be in paradise, enjoying the shade of the trees of paradise, and eating from the fruits of the trees of paradise, and drinking from the springs of paradise. Number two, that the mukallibun, the deniers, who denied the messengers and the message of the Prophet ﷺ, that which came to them through them, that they would have and wail a terrible punishment or a valley in paradise, meaning that they would be destroyed and they would be severely punished. Number three, that the enjoyment of the things of this world are qaleel, are just a little, because this is not a permanent place of residence. And therefore, its enjoyment, its pleasures are temporary, vanishing, not permanent. Number four, that the mujrimeen, the criminals, the deniers, that they will never believe in the signs or even miracles, since they didn't believe in this Quran, and they will never believe in anything that came after it. And also, Shaykh Abu Zayd mentioned some points from this hadith different. One of them is that in these verses is the affirmation of the aqidah, the belief in al-bahth, in the resurrection, wal-jaza, and the reward. And that is, this is understood from the mention of that which will be given to the awliya of Allah, the mu'mineen, the muttaqeen, and the muhsineen. Likewise, in these verses there is a proof of the truthfulness of the Qur'an, which warned of the punishment, the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the leaders of the criminals of Makkah, the mujrimeen, the mushrikeen of Quraysh. He warned them and threatened them, and this threat, it was fulfilled in less than 5 years. After these verses were revealed, they were destroyed. All of the leaders of the pagans of Quraysh were destroyed, and their punishment came to them instantly in this world, not to mention the punishment in the next life. The third point is the point of fiqh. He says that, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اُرْكَعُوا if they are told to bow down, لا يقعون, that they don't bow down. He said that from this we can also understand, and it is based on the clear hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that whoever enters a masjid while the people are praying, and that person has already performed the prayer, then they should join the Muslims while they are praying, so that they will not be of those who don't bow down with those who bow down. Yani if anybody came to the masjid and the people were praying and they already performed the prayer, then they should join the prayer. As the Prophet ﷺ told some people who had performed their prayer at home and they came to the masjid and found that the congregation prayer had not been completed, and they sat on the side, and the Prophet ﷺ asked them why. They said, we already performed the prayer. He said, if you came to the masjid and the congregation is praying, then you should join them, and one of them will be counted as a voluntary prayer and the other one as an obligatory prayer. This is the end of the points that we wanted to cover here, and then the questions related to this topic. Number one, if we can complete them before the adhan, it would be good. The first question, what is the meaning of at-taqwa, and who are the muttaqeen? What is the meaning of at-taqwa? When you fear Allah. Well, the muttaqeen are the people of taqwa. What is the meaning of taqwa? Fear of Allah. And it is the state or consciousness of the person who always considers what Allah has commanded and what Allah has prohibited. And they place a screen or a protection, wiqaya, between them and the punishment of Allah by doing what He has ordered and abstaining from what He has prohibited. And that the person makes a screen. Taqwa, it is a shield or a screen that protects someone from something. Here it is a protection from the punishment of Allah, and that screen is the obedience to His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. What is the reward for the muttaqeen mentioned in these verses? Shades in paradise, shades from the trees of paradise. And eating from the fruits of the trees of paradise. And eating of whatever fruits they desire, and drinking from the springs of paradise. Who is addressed in the words, eat and enjoy yourselves for a little while? The mujrimeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, eat and enjoy for a little while, and after that is coming the punishment. So no one should be pleased with themselves because they're enjoying the things of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only allowed, but He has ordered the disbelievers to enjoy the dunya. This is their paradise. This is their paradise. But after this is coming the punishment. Explain the verse, verily thus we reward the muhsineen. Inna kadhalika yajzi al-muhsineen. Naam, the muhsineen are the people who are best in actions, meaning ikhlas and as-sawab. Yani doing purely for the sake of Allah and correctly in accordance with the Sharia. And another meaning of muhsineen as reported, well, that's another question. Is there a question here continuing? Naam. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explain the expression al-ihsan? Naam. Now, to worship Allah as though you are seeing Him, and even though you don't see Him, know that He sees you. This is also a state of consciousness, al-ihsan, that is similar to taqwa. It is muraqabat Allah, that a person should know that Allah is watching them, and therefore they should always act in accordance with the fact that Allah is seeing what they are doing. Allah is seeing all that they are doing, and Allah is capable and able to punish them, now or later, as He wills. So shouldn't a person who knows, and the one who has absolute power over them and authority over them, and who sees and knows what they are doing and saying, even what they are thinking, how could they act then, other than in obedience and seeing the pleasure of that one who sees and knows all that they do and has the ability to reward or to punish them? This is al-ihsan. What is the meaning of wail in the verse, woe that day to the denies? What is the meaning of wail? Wail yawma idun al-mukadzibin. Some of the scholars said it means the valley and the hellfire for the people who are described under these verses, and also it means azab al-aleem, a terrible punishment. What is mentioned here, or what is intended here in the words, and when it is said to them, irka'u. Fa'ila qila lakum irka'u, لا يركعون. What is the meaning of اركعوا, bow down? What is meant here by these words? نعم. It is يعني the intended meaning here is الصلاة. And the general meaning of it is worshiping Allah. When they are ordered to make salat, they don't make salat. When they are ordered to worship Allah, they don't worship Allah. These are the deniers. When they are ordered to bow down, they don't bow down. How can we answer? And this question that came in the end of this section, then what statement after this will they believe? فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. In what statement after this they will believe? What is the answer to this question? The answer to this question is that nothing after this they will believe in. They will never believe. They will never believe. If they don't accept the Quran, they will never believe. Whoever doesn't accept the Quran, don't expect them to ever believe. Because the Quran is sufficient and comprehensive. It is calling to all that is good and warning against evil. And it is promising the reward of peace and happiness in this world, as well as the greater peace and the success in the next life. And even if they examine this from the intellectual perspective, the ajaz of Quran, the miraculous nature of the Quran in its language, as well as its expressions, the expressions that it uses, as well as the information contained in it of past history that are unknown to the people, and of future things that were going to take place, which did take place, and of the scientific information that was unknown in that time, that's only being discovered in this time. If this is not sufficient, if anyone doesn't believe in this, for sure they won't believe ever in anything less than it. Does a believer actually earn a jinnah by his or her righteous deeds, as perhaps may be understood in verse number 43? This, how can we explain this thing? Now, the good deeds is one of the causes, but it is not an equal exchange. That if you want to enter paradise, you can buy it. By doing so much good deeds, your good deeds will be equal to the value of paradise. It's no such thing. It cannot be. And the Prophet ﷺ made it clear that no one would be saved from the hellfire, or in another narration, no one would enter the paradise by their deeds alone. And they asked him, not even you, Ya Rasulullah? He said, not even me. Except that Allah will come with His rahmah and with His fadl. So this is a clear proof that the believer doesn't actually earn such that he is entitled, he or she is entitled to paradise. Your good deeds are sufficient, now you have to go into paradise. Allah cannot refuse you, but it is only one of the causes, of the many causes. The primary causes is Allah's favor and Allah's mercy and Allah's pardoning. And the secondary cause is our deeds, through which we earn Allah's favor and Allah's mercy and His forgiveness. Mention some of the benefits or points derived from these verses. There are many. From amongst them?
From among them, seeing
and hearing
for the
believers
in
Jannah. Now, there are some of the rewards. From these verses, we know whether some of the rewards of the believers have in paradise. They will be eating from the fruits, all different types of fruits from the trees of paradise, and drinking from the springs of paradise of various different types. And from these verses, we know that there should be fear for those who disbelieve and who reject and who deny of the punishment, of the guaranteed punishment that will be for those who disbelieve in the hellfire. And also, that the things in this world are temporary. This world is temporary. The enjoyments of this world are temporary. They're only a little. Qaleelan. Enjoy it only a little. Because it's only a little bit, and it's only lasting for a little while. And then shortly thereafter is coming the reality. Also, to obey the commands of Allah, to bow down, to perform salat, and to worship Him. And whoever doesn't do so, these are the characteristics of the people of hellfire. That a person doesn't pray, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever abandons salat, that it is kufr. The fark of salat is kufr. So that this is also a dangerous matter. The one who refuses to bow to Allah, to worship Allah, to pray to Allah, then this is a sign of the disbelievers. Also, that the people who deny the Quran, they will never believe. And this also shows the status of the Quran, the greatness of the Quran, that it is such that whoever doesn't believe in it, don't expect them to believe in anything else. There's nothing about the Quran as a convincing proof, as a means of calling people to the deen of Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, inshallah after the adhan we can take a few moments. But Allah Alam, I don't know any clear distinction. I can't detect a clear distinction, except if you look at the meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave for ihsan. There's a consciousness that the emphasis in that ihsan is that the person is acting as though they are seeing Allah, or they are acting with the awareness that Allah is watching them. And this is the emphasis. The emphasis is in seeing Allah, or that Allah is seeing you. And this is al-muraqabah, the consciousness that Allah is watching you, or that you are consciousness that Allah is in front of you, being aware of Allah. And for taqwa, it may be, Allahu A'lam, but it may be a lesser stage in some sense. But of course, if there are levels of taqwa, but the lower stage of taqwa perhaps doesn't seem to be equal to ihsan. Because the lower stage of taqwa is that the person tries to do whatever Allah has commanded. And most of the scholars explain taqwa that it is intizar bi awamirullah, that you implement or you fulfill what Allah has ordered to do, but not necessarily mentioning more than that. And ijtinab nawahihi, that you avoid what Allah has prohibited, but not necessarily what is less than that. Whereas ihsan itself, it seems to be a higher stage, that the person who knows that Allah is watching him is not only going to do what Allah ordered and only avoid what is clearly haram, but they will avoid what is makruh, and they will do what is mustahab, and more than that. It seems as though, Allahu A'lam, but I didn't see any scholars comparing the two, so that somebody made a clear distinction between them. But perhaps, and Allah knows best, it is only my own, maybe I am imagining this, that there is a difference between them. If it is, it seems as though ihsan may be, in general, a higher stage than taqwa, because taqwa, it may have levels that are less than ihsan. The lowest level of taqwa doesn't seem to be equal to ihsan. And the Prophet ﷺ compared the deen to three levels or three stages. And the lowest of them is Islam, that the person does the actions that everyone is required to do. And the highest stage is Iman, that the person has a degree of protection, of faith, of conviction in the heart, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that motivates them in their actions. And the highest stage is Ihsan. So it seems as though if something is higher than another, then it would be Ihsan. Although he didn't include taqwa in this comparison, so it's difficult to say. Wallahu a'lam. Anyway, we can't say for sure, unless we found some text from the Quran and Sunnah that the scholars have referred to showing a clear distinction between them. There are so many definitions like this. As I said, they are very close in their meanings. If you look at the meanings, they are very close, they are very similar. Both of them is the consciousness of Allah that moves the person to act, and either to fulfill Allah's commands or to avoid his prohibitions. But so many times this question came, I didn't find anything myself really clear about a clear distinction between them. They appear to be very close, and Allah knows best. Any other question or comment or correction? The question from the sisters.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان.